That's a great video. How many are cooking out for the 4th? Do I need to wake everybody up? Come on. We'll put a grill up here, you'll wake up. That's why. Somebody sent me a can of meat, told me not to open it because it was spam. Well, you're starting to wake up. Neighbor saw a little boy digging a hole in his backyard and said, "Timmy, what are you doing?" He said, "Burying my goldfish." He said, "Oh, that's too bad." He said, that's a lot of dirt for just a little goldfish. He said, "Well, he's inside your cat." Oh, it's going to be a good day. Yes, it is almost July. It's right at the end of June, as you all know the date. But I agree with Ron. No more time in our nation's history or better time than to really look to Jesus for our country. And amen. So when you vote, vote Bible. That's what you want to do. You might not like everything about the candidate, but vote the one that lines up the most with the Bible. Yes, we will. Thanks. That's appreciate that. Let's say hi to our online crowd. God bless you guys. Amen. We've been doing a series called Walk It Out, and it's on the road to winning. I think everybody likes to win, but we want to, you know, God, how do I walk all this out? Because nobody really talks about it. If you grew up in church, it's almost like once you get saved, that's it. You're good. And nobody really tells you how to be a disciple, how to walk things out, or, you know, we keep going around the same things over and over again. And so we've been kind of looking at that, and I'm hopefully being able to help you a little bit. I know for myself, I'm still walking things out, and Kim and I, you know, will continue to learn and continue to grow. But this particular series, we're pulling out of Scripture, Deuteronomy 2:24. We'll get there in just a second, but this is Moses just days before he died, and he is rehearsing everything that has happened and what God has done for all the people, and he's reminding them of what the Lord has commissioned him to do, and for how they're supposed to enter into the promised land and possess it and to go forward. And so let me ask you this question this morning. Do you think God has territory for you? Territory for you to take? Territory for you to be able to, or just kind of stay where you're at or never increase? And I would just here to tell you this morning that, yes, he has territory for you to take. So let's look at our main text in that Deuteronomy. Rise and take your journey. Cross over the river Arnon. Look, I have given into your hand Sihon, the Amorite king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it and engage him in battle. So we originally were talking about maybe 7 steps as we look at this particular scripture to winning and walking it out. In other words, just heading on that road, walking in the right direction, and finding out, Lord, what do we want, or what do you want me to do? We talked first about just rising up. What stirs you up? Are you just going to stay complacent? Or is there something inside that's like, I've had enough. I am rising up. I'm not going to keep doing this over and over and over again. So something to stir you up. Then we talked about taking the journey. So once you've kind of got up, we might as well take that journey. God has a plan for each and every one of us. Every one of us has a plan that God has for you, for your life, to be more than what you'd ever ask, think, or even acknowledge. And I mean, he's just got this great plan. There was a story of a kid that he was adopted, used to get made fun of all the time at school, and the kids would just tell him, you don't even know who your real parents are, and just really just give him a hard time. And finally he turned around and said, well, let me just say this, my parents chose me. They just got stuck with you, your parents. So really, if we look at things, depending on our perspective, it doesn't matter as much as how you got here. I mean, yes, we all have a story. We all have things. I get that. But God still has a purpose for you and has a purpose for me. You and I are not mistakes. God thinks you're awesome. I don't say that you're problem-free. In this world, you'll have tribulation. I'm saying God is greater than anything that you face and ever will face, and he has supplied everything you will ever need. What happens to most of us, and I'm not exempt from this, I have to keep telling myself, we amplify the need or the issue or the problem until it almost takes us off course, don't we? It will let it consume us, and it can derail us. But let me just say this to you. Your past is your past. Your future is so bright, you got to squint to look at it. The third thing we talked about was pastor crossover into enemy territory, and there's many believers that are just hiding. We just don't want to confront the enemy, because we found out if we confront the enemy, he knows, uh-oh, and then he starts fighting back, and then we get afraid. You don't have to be afraid. He wants you to be afraid. We should take territory and quit giving up territory. The fourth thing we talked about was we need to behold or see. And he's telling us to see something that hasn't really happened in the natural yet. We have to look through it through the eyes of faith, through your heart, through your knower, so to speak. Moms always seem like have a built-in knower. They just know. But we have to look through that eyes of faith, the things that haven't materialized yet that we are believing for. But you can still see it. God gave everybody the ability to do that. You might think, Brett, I can't do that. Yes, you can. We talked about, and I'll say it again today, we've talked about imagination. If I ask you how many windows were in your house, you'd be like, I don't know, I never counted them. But if I ask you, you could picture your house and you could count those windows. We can look at what God wants us to believe for and see it in our heart. Problem is, so many of us have been told, or we look at it in the negative light or in the negative side. We see ourselves as a failure before we even start. It'll happen for everybody, but it won't happen for me. I almost feel like Charlie Brown. Why is everybody always picking on me? How did I get the shortest? He got more than me. I didn't get enough. We always have this little chip on our shoulder. Some people don't. They've already failed before they try because they're not going to try. They've already considered failure. Sometimes we've been convinced by the enemy, just do nothing. It's much easier. Take no risk. There are opportunities out there that God has presented all of us to prosper and go to where he's wanting us to go, and we don't always take them, do we? I know I've missed that train a couple times. Then the enemy is sure to beat you up over that, isn't he? He'll tell you not to do anything and then beat you up when you don't do anything. See, we have to watch how we see ourselves. I know I used to say a lot of things that would be almost... I had a friend, let me just put it this way, and I did it myself too, but he was always saying things about himself, derogatory about himself, all the time. You know, and part of that was he wanted to be the center of attention because he figured if he was the center of attention and everybody was laughing, he didn't feel so awkward and out of place and alone. Does that make sense? But what he's not understanding is all of those words that he is speaking isn't helping his own inner buildup of himself, of who God made him and who he's supposed to be. He's beginning to hear what he's saying, and he believes a lot of what he's saying, and then when things come, he goes by what he's heard the most. See, people will fail because they don't embrace the God thing. They'll embrace the thing that they speak all the time or that they hear. Their mind is almost closed to God because I've not seen it before. It's not happened to me that way. That'd be great, but I don't see it happening to me. It happens to them, but I don't know. If the doctor said, you're going to die, most of them would see right now, they'd start playing their funeral in their mind. Who's going to show up? What songs will we sing? They had an exercise in college, and I've heard them do this in high school as well, where the teacher wanted the students to plan that out. I think that's kind of morbid myself. Plan your own funeral. I don't mean that bad, so please. But what I do mean is I want to live life and live it to the fullest. If I go home to be with Jesus, I'm not concerned. The people that are closest to me, they'll take care of all that. My wishes and all that stuff, I'm sure will be done, all that. You know what I'm saying? But I'm not going to plan out those kind of things to the point, at least for me. If you're like, Brett, I don't agree, that's totally okay. That's up to you. What I'm saying is I want to keep my mind on the living. Now, when I'm in heaven, that's going to be awesome. I like that, but I don't really want to go now. But people with that mindset, not only will they picture all those things, they'll picture things or they'll say things. Well, everybody's getting sick. I'll probably get sick, they say. And they end up getting sick. Because that's how they see it. Do you understand? That's how they see it. We are like grasshoppers in our sight and theirs. That's how they see it. Until you see yourself winning on the inside, listen to what I'm saying, you won't be able to see it on the outside. You've got to see yourself winning on the inside so that it will manifest on the outside. Miracles have to be conceived. They don't come by the stork. They don't drop out of the sky. We expect God to miraculously somehow touch us, but we can't see that we have any part to play. There's nothing, we have nothing to do with it. It's just God having mercy and pity on us. Oh, today I think I'll, and that's not how that works. Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. Your life and my life, we have to watch because it is going in the direction the way we see it and the way we say it. The way we see and speak, the way we see it and the way we say it. If you can't see it, you can't seize it. Almost sound like Popeye there. You can't seize it. But that I'm not me. I mean, you can't grab it. You can't have it if you're not seeing yourself. Remember I told you, you know, Kim and I, we would go places that would just help us dream. And we would just sit there, and there'd be people walking through those spec houses like, oh, well, that's kind of weird. They're just in there sitting. We were just in there. We would say hi to them. Hi. Go right on through. You're not bothering us. Which kind of, I think we were bothering them, so we didn't stay real long. But we would go in there just enough just to get us into the mindset of, Lord, I can see myself in something like this. How's that going to happen? I didn't have to have all the answers. I just had to have the seeing so that I could seize it inside. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Let me just say to you that he cannot just devour anybody. He has to find an inroad. You may not be saying something like cancer or something like that, or stupid talk like, I'm only human, this is incurable, what can I do? We've all probably made statements similar to those. I get it. I'm not saying it's always good, but I understand. Doesn't make it right. But fear will always allow the enemy to do things, steal, kill, destroy. The bottom line is this. We have to stay focused and connected to God, being aware of what we are doing. Satan can't do anything without your consent or cooperation. I'm going to say that again. Satan can't do anything without your consent or cooperation. So don't give him the inroad. Don't live in fear. Don't have to spend all your time binding because you're not going to give him access. You understand? He's not going to be in there to bind. Does that make sense? You can be walking and focus on God. And I'm not saying I'm perfect at this. All I'm trying to tell you is I have to walk this out just like you do. But I don't have to walk. You ever met somebody that's almost so spiritual for their own good? You love them, but it's like it's hard to carry on a conversation because they're just like way in their mind so spiritual. You know, I can't find my keys to the car. You need the keys to the kingdom. Well, that's great, but I just need the keys to the Toyota. You know, that kind of stuff. They won't use a computer because it has a cursor. Can't run a sweeper because it says it's a dirt devil. Can't have that. So all I'm saying is, you know, I went up to people, hi, how are you? I'm highly favored and God bless, blah, 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 and they went on for like 5 minutes. All I wanted was, I'm good, and you? I mean, I get that. But I don't want to walk around. I mean, this is what I'm saying. It's not the whistle that pulls the train. Okay? The whistle just makes noise. I just want to walk with God. I don't have to toot my horn. It's about Him. It's not about me. I'm just going to, you know, there's got to be something in the engine. So listen to what I'm saying. If I walk into a room and the enemy is trying to do things in the room, as soon as I walk into the room, the God part of me is like, on, okay. And the enemy knows the people of God are in the room. Are you with me? He is very much aware. I don't have to proclaim and declare I am so-and-so. I'm not any. I'm just Brett, and God is just who He's, the Almighty, all magnificent, El Shaddai, and I'm on His team. And so my allegiance is just to Him. I don't have to shout that to everybody. I don't have to beg for things I already have. His Spirit lives in me, so when we go places, God goes with you. When you walk into a store, He's walking into the store. When you go up to somebody and say, how you doing, and you shake their hand, God inside you, that anointing that's inside you, is rubbing off on whoever you're shaking. And you got to be determined, Lord, I'm going to be about Your business. I'll be confident. The fifth thing we talked about, He says, I have given. It hasn't happened yet in the natural, but it's already done. So we are not controlled. We talked about not being controlled by our five senses, not our seeing, our tasting, our hearing, our smelling, our touch, all of that. Those are all good. God gave you those, and it's okay to have those, obviously. He gave those to you, but you're not controlled by them. You're controlled by His Spirit. You're being led by His Spirit. He's done everything He's going to do. God has already done it. You know, when Jesus said, it is finished, He didn't mean it's finished, pretty much. Most of it's done. He says it's finished, and He talks to His disciples. You know, over 500 people saw Him after His death, burial, and resurrection. And then He goes up and He leaves. And the Bible says He is seated at the right hand of the Father. That's where you're going to find Him. But let me say this. The reason I'm saying that, He's sitting down because it's finished. He doesn't have to work anymore. It's finished. I wasn't taught that. And then just to figure that out, like, are we saying that He's going back to the cross? No, He has done everything that was needed. It's finished. They're not going to crucify Him again. He doesn't have to go back and sacrifice again. One time, that's enough. It's done. Well, Brett, that was 2,000 years ago. Right. Everything that you could have ever done wrong or did wrong has already been paid for. Finished. Every healing that you could ever need, finished. He already paid for it. So let me say this, and don't throw anything at me, but I just want you to hear me. So the Lord isn't healing, saving, delivering, or prospering people today because He's already done it. You need to understand, it's still happening, so please don't get me wrong. People are still getting saved, they're still getting delivered, they're still prospering. I get that. But He doesn't have to go do it again. He's not doing it new, it's already been done. So He's already provided everything. If my kids come to the house and they say, I'm hungry, they just have to go to the fridge, open it up, and get the food that's in there. It's already been provided. Help me. It's already in there. All they got to do is open it and get it. The Bible says that you and I are already blessed. Ephesians, there's six chapters in Ephesians. The first three are focused on how we should live. The second three are how we should live. The first three are talking about what has already been done. So first three, what's already been done. The second three, how we should live. Ephesians 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ." So since his resurrection, he's sitting with the Father. So all of, you know, he hasn't had to do any of that stuff again. He already paid that price. I never used to be able to see that. It's already been done. And he has released the authority and power in us to carry out the message, the gospel, the good news, to tell people about what he has done, and so that we have the authority to lead them to Jesus. We have the authority to lay our hands on the sick and watch them recover. We have the authority to bind the enemy and watch him take off. We have that authority. Some will say, "I'm not healed. Look at this. Look at this doctor's report." They have to appropriate what he did on the cross 2,000 years ago. It's already done. Doesn't matter what your five senses are seeing. Brett, you don't even understand. Listen, I might not understand some things. And sometimes I get it, you know. But really, in the last couple months, I don't know why. But I've had, and my wife can tell you, I've had some trouble with my knees. And so I needed some help. So I was like, you know, and I don't know what was going on with them. It's just they hurt. And then it felt like they were going to, like I had hyperextended them somehow, and I didn't. And like they were going to just break, and I was going to fall. And then I was having trouble with whatever this bone is that connects into my hip. So I kind of had that Walter Brennan Elvis. I'd kind of get up and I'd have to, and you know. But all of these situations now are almost completely gone. And let me explain why. Because of God. Because it's not like God's going to say, "Jesus, you're going to have to go back to the cross again because Brett's knees, oh my, they're terrible. He's doing Walter Brennan Elvis imitations. It's bad." You guys are probably out there, your young ones are like, "Who's Walter Brennan?" Never mind. It was just an old Western character. But anyway, I had to speak to those situations, and I had to do exactly what I'm telling you. I had to picture myself with no pain, picture myself walking normally, being able to do whatever without any pain, and call that done, and then command the pain in those areas. You have no right to stay on my body. And I can tell you, it did not leave right away. But see, you have to be relentless. There's a word for you. You have to be relentless. You have to be fully persuaded. I am not giving up. I am not going away. I will win this battle because Jesus already won it and gave me the keys. When you know that, the devil just, every time I would, it's just like this grip that he had starts loosening. Pretty soon, he can't keep a hold. Let me put it to another level. I've told you the story of Maddie 6 times on the way to church, got spanked when she was little, kept taking her shoes off. I remember one of my wife's exact words. If I'm wrong, she can correct me. She looked at Maddie and she said, "I will win." And Maddie, I mean, Mal, Zach, and Sam were in the car like, "Oh, dear Jesus." Maddie, because I mean, it was just like click, the seatbelt would come off, out of the seat she'd come and back to the back, and then she looked at Maddie and said, "I will win." After 6 times, she won. You could say to yourself, why didn't she just learn after the first time? If you figure that answer out, come on, I want to preach it too. But it took six times, and then I don't remember that ever happening again. But six times, man, it was like, now, people are different. Mal could get in trouble, and you could tell her one time, and she'd never do it again. Maddie, not so much. One time, you're just warming up. She's just like, let me find a loophole in where that is. But you got to understand, the devil's going to try every which way but loose to see if you are fully persuaded. And you just from the get-go, don't give him the inroad. I am so persuaded. Let me tell you. Don't waste time. Just pull out what God has given you and start firing. And just start giving him the word and start hammering whatever that area is. I speak it in line. I command that pain to leave in Jesus' name. I see myself being able to run and walk and being able to be healthy. And begin to see yourself completely well. And then thank him for it. But Brett, it hasn't happened. It has happened. It just hasn't manifested yet. Are you with me? It sounds kind of nuts, but I'm telling you, it's not nuts. It's how the law works. I had people ask me the other day, did you sell your house? I said, I did. Who bought it? I don't know. I haven't met him yet. But I'm going to. It's going to be awesome. Because that's the only thing that we believe. We leave the drive. We pray. We always, you know, Father, thank you. We plead the blood of Jesus over this house. Pray angels around it. And now we say this every time we leave. In the name of Jesus, thank you, God, that this house is sold. Thank you for the new buyers. Bless them and this house. And we blah, 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 you know, plead the blood and pray angels around the house. I just said, we're just doing that every time. Why? Because we are declaring what we are saying and seeing. Well, Brett, I don't see it yet. You don't see it. But I do. 1 Peter 2:24, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. That's what the Bible says, past tense, were healed. Jesus took all the sickness and disease of the entire world on his body. Isaiah 52:14, just as many were astonished at you, so his visage, or visage, however you want to say that, was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. His body was so marred and mutilated, he didn't even look like a real man or a real person. And visage is talking about his face. Means, remember they pulled parts of his beard out and they just beat him and smacked him with sticks and poles and fists and whatever they had. He took it all. Everybody say all. His beating was terrible, but listen to this. Past the beating, the sins and sickness he took was even worse. Of the entire world and world to come. He already conquered sin and sickness 2,000 years ago, and he totally destroyed its power in our lives if we would just see it. We don't have to ask Jesus, would you heal me? He'd say, you're already healed. We were healed. We have to see ourselves well. If you can't see it on the inside, you won't see it on the outside. Now, there are those acts of faith that people come up and they're just still believing for God to touch them, and it happens. I get it, and that's wonderful. Most of us see what we are now, not what we want to be. But we have to use our imagination. We are already blessed with all spiritual blessings, Ephesians 1:4, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. How does he do that? I don't really understand it all, but it's a game changer. I was chosen in Christ before the foundations of the world. Before you were ever even here or a sparkle in your grandpappy's eye, Jesus said, I got a plan for you. People say, I found God. God's never lost. He found us. He sought us out. You're in church today because something inside said, I need to go to church. God is drawing you. He has great plans for you. I love my wife. I love that every day that I can remember of my kids' life that I can remember, she'd scratch their back and read Psalm 92, 12 through 15 every night. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. They shall grow like the cedar of Lebanon. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock and salvation. There is no unrighteousness in him. She would say that to them every night. And then she would say to them, you're going to do great things for God. Don't miss it. Every night. And if she couldn't be there due to a women's event or something, I'd go try to scratch their back, and they would always say, Mommy doesn't do it that way. Mommy's not here. And they'd be like, no kidding. But, you know, that was just part of their going to bed thing. That was just something. And in our house right now, Ron had made a plaque, and the kids, they got it for her. And it is Psalm 92, 12 through 15. It's all carved in wood, and I don't know how it all happened, but there's a lot to put in wood. But that psalm is special because she wanted them to see that God had great plans for them. He already has plans for you. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing's ever occurred to God? That God never, you know, it's not like you pray and it happens and God goes, oh, it worked. God doesn't do that. He knows how everything works. I used to say this. I used to say faith moves God. But God is not the one that needs to move. He's already moved, and he used Jesus. He's provided everything. He chose you before the foundation of the world. He has a perfect plan for you and a perfect plan for me. He's already released healing. He's already released prosperity. He already has commanded prosperity upon you. That's what his word says. Why would you not want that if his word, he wants that. He wants you to prosper. It makes him happy when you prosper. You know why? Because you can help people that don't believe in God. You can show them how good God is. He commanded healing on you. But you got to cooperate. You got to respond to what he's already done. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. God is moved by grace. That's how he moves. He moves by grace. Grace is something that God did through Jesus. John 1:16, and of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. So he was released grace through Jesus. Grace is what God does for us, for you and me. And it, listen to me, it is independent of you and me. It's not based on my goodness. It's not based on my works. Are you with me? He did it because he loves, for God so loved the world that he gave. He did it because he loves you. His grace isn't because I'm good, you're good, I did this. Boy, I have to do this. If I do this, then he'll do that. That's not grace. If that's tied with our works, that's not grace. It's not based on anything to do with me or you. Because if that was the case, it wouldn't be grace. He sent Jesus to take your sickness and sin 2,000 years ago. He took your poverty. He wants you to be prosperous. He wants you to be examples of the kingdom of God. 2 Corinthians 8:9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that you thought through his poverty might become rich. That was 2,000 years ago. Everything God did, he did it through Jesus. That's grace. Grace isn't automatic. Titus 2:11-12, for the grace of God brings salvation, has appeared to all men, teaching us and denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. So the grace has already came in Jesus, and not everybody is saved because they have a free will. You have to be able to receive the grace and believe he provided. And you do that through faith. You can't see it. You can't see, but you believe, well, Jesus died for me. So when we accept the Lord, we do that. We are saved by grace, but we use our faith to get there. So you see, grace is God's part. Believing is yours. Grace is God's part. Believing is yours. So faith appropriates what God has already provided. Does that make sense? Faith doesn't make God respond to you because it's not based on what you do. If it was, it wouldn't be grace. I'm not doing anything to get God to move. We used to think, and it used to be taught, if you fast, you could move the hand of God. God has already moved. I can't move God's. He's already done it. It's finished. If I'm fasting, it's because the Lord has led me to fast, not for God, but for me. It's getting my mind in the right position so that I can line up with the things He has already done that I need. Are you following that? So I cannot make God move. I can understand how the laws work, and I can do what His covenant says, and they just work because that's how it does. Anybody can follow God's kingdom if they want to, but I have to believe. Grace is His part. Believing is my part. They tell a story of an evangelist that came up front during a VBS, and he held a dollar up, and he said, okay, who wants this dollar? And there were a couple hundred kids there, and they're like, wow! That was back in the day. How many remember penny candy? Some of the kids are like, what's a penny? Is it plastic? Do you put it in the... But, you know, we used to be able to get all kinds. I love those little cinnamon chewy things that get stuck in your teeth. Those Amy, she gave me some of that stuff. Yes, I think Jesus doesn't even mind if you have to floss with those. Those are good. But anyways, who wants a dollar? And these kids all ran up there. They're just clamoring around this guy, and he's just holding it up. And they're just jumping, give it to me, 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 me. One little boy in the back said, He ran over, started climbing up kids, got onto the guy, and started climbing up the guy, climbed up his arm, grabbed the dollar, and took it. And the point the evangelist said is everybody wanted it. All these kids wanted it, but only one took it. You gotta see that. You're going to have to take this. You're going to have to say, you have to apply yourself and appropriate what Jesus did and then put it into your life. I believe that. I believe I received that. Why? What are you standing on? What makes you believe that? What word? Mark 11, 23 and 24, I believe when I pray, I receive when I pray. Philippians 4, 19, my God supplies all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Numbers 11, 23, God's arms not wax short. I mean, you got to start saying, oh, this is what I'm standing on. Can you say what you're standing on? Why are you believing what you're believing? If you can't tell me, that's probably why it hasn't showed up. What are you speaking and what are you seeing? If you want to seize it, you're going to have to see it. And you're going to have to speak the word of God to get where you're going. You have to take it. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, longsuffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there's no law. All of those are inside of you if you're a believer. All nine of those. Some of you are going, they're nine? Wait. Yeah. So you don't have to pray for them. Oh, God, give me patience. You have patience. Just pull it out and start using it. Let me ask you a question. If you want patience, is God going to give you patience, or is there going to be a situation where you have to act on it? Probably the situation, because He's already given you the patience. He's going to give you a Maddie. Put your shoes on. I will win this. But there may be situations when you're driving. It's 40. We are on the way here. I'm like, it's 45. 45. Not, you know, I mean, you know, just looking at Tim Conway driving a car. Patience. You're going to have to act on it. You're going to have to understand He's already given it. You have patience. I don't have to ask for it. I already have it, so I'm going to put it to use. You're being tempted? Self-control. I don't have to ask for it. I already have it. I'm going to put it to use. So we have to start understanding it's already done. He's already made that for you. Quit being carnal. Fight the good fight of faith. You know what I like about the good fight? You know what's a fight that's a good fight? Jesus already won. Look at the end of the book. We win. So I got to focus. I got to do just what I'm telling you. I think we all could say, yeah, I could have used more self-control. Yeah, I could have used more patience. Yeah, I could have been kind. I could have been this. I could have been that. I understand. What do we do from here? Okay. So then we see ourselves winning in those situations that you've lost in. Are you with me? You see yourself with self-control. You see yourself being kind. You see yourself with patience. You see yourself being good, gentle. And then you speak it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that I'm going to exercise self-control right now in Jesus' name. Thank you for that. Thank you for that fruit. Because if you focus on what he's given you, you won't get derailed. And you'll see results. And you'll walk away going, man. And every time that you put God in that place, the next time it won't be as tough. Because you're going to give him first place. Don't give the enemy an inroad because he'll take it. Keep him out. Keep God in. You can do that. Amen? How many are going to have a good week? How many are glad you live in a country that's free? Thank God for the people that paid that price. Amen? Amen. Would you stand to your feet, bow your heads, close your eyes?